Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump.
I'm sorry, Philip. What did Mike P say?
Fuck them.
I think he did say that. Good afternoon, Philip.
Good afternoon,
everybody, buddy. We're so glad you tuned in tonight.
It's fun to know that this is the Phil and Bill show on Bikers of America. We're on the left coast. We have people on the east coast, the Midwest, around the world. We have 2 people from Japan, 4 people from Israel.
Ooh.
We're pretty much going all over the place tonight.
But we're only good if you people contact us. The show is absolutely no good just Philip and I here. The show is about all of our friends getting on together. You know, I had a thought about alien DNA. Did I mention that to you?
No, but go ahead.
We're going ahead anyway, right?
Yeah.
So I think the aliens did populate this earth, and they gave us they messed with our DNA. So we are slowly evolving according to the aliens' wishes. Now, we have had some aliens which have, I shouldn't say that. We've had some humans which have been kind of irregular in their evolving. Now, I want to talk about the basketball player Dennis Rodman. Excuse me. Great basketball player. He is definitely an irregular DNA. Alien DNA. Let's talk about Tiny Tim.
Fuck you, you asshole.
Tiny Tim's got to be DNA from the aliens.
Fucking jerk.
Let's talk about Michael Jackson. Tell me, alien DNA gone bad. And let's talk about the most current one here in America today.
Fuck you.
Philip Hennigan. You've got to know that man has got some alien DNA which has gone a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
You listen to him for years, I hope. You know there's something wrong with him. But that, I'm not sure yet. But the aliens, I think, came in and they messed with the DNA. And I think Philip's an example of the aliens that propagated the United States of America and the world. You were just waiting to see I was going to start this show, weren't you?
Yeah.
Do you have any statements on the aliens?
No.
All right, then. I guess you don't want to talk about it because you don't want to draw attention to yourself.
No.
All right.
It's not worth the time.
Many people are thinking, Philip Hennigan, alien DNA.
Yeah.
He came from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Could be another example.
Hold on a second. We'll see if this guy answers the phone. You can ask him. Usually it takes him a while. He's probably running around. He's running around the shop.
Shop. They said running around naked. I don't think we're going to get him tonight.
No.
Well, there was your one. Trying to get some validity. It's not working.
I know.
There's no validity.
Okay, here we go. Well, let's see. That's Stacy.
Okay. And who's 508?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. You want to tell us who you are, where you're from, please?
It's Stacy calling from the Massachusetts, Rhode Island line.
Here we go.
All right, hold on 1 second. 818.
818, you're on the air live. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
This is Brenda. This is Brenda Mavadna calling in. I wanted to let everyone know, your listeners, about Courtney Jones. We're having a fundraiser. She was in a serious motorcycle accident. And this Saturday, we're raising money for her at All-Star Athletics Baseball Fundraiser. Are you there?
Yeah, we're listening. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, and my son's a high school coach, and he came up with the idea to have this fundraiser over at All-Star Athletics in Newbury Park, California. It's located at 711 Rancho Canale Boulevard. It's on from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have Matt Birch and Froey coming out. We have about three either Major League Baseball players, Minor League Baseball players coming out. Electra, the Greek American rock star, she'll be out for a while, and we'll be having celebrities visit us all day long. Matt Birch is challenging people to come out and give him a run for his money with the dodgeball, and hopefully he's bringing some more people with him. So,
listen, this, what are we talking about, like Major League Fastball? We're talking about slow pitch? Are we talking about the whole game? Or give me the idea of what's happening.
Okay, well, the facility is All-American, All-Star Athletics Baseball. Even though bikers are invited, we extended it into the athletic world so everybody can come. And what they're going to do is they have 13,000 square feet of indoor batting cages at all different speeds for softball, baseball. You go in and you pay and you get, you know, a card to go in and use those. And then she's donating half of all the income from that alone. And also there's another big area, and she's going to, she's got a divider where she could set up dodgeball, wiffle ball, different kinds of activities if people want to get involved and donate their money that way. We also have Brat Brothers, which is a new, well, it was a good restaurant down in Sherman Oaks, and they opened another restaurant now in Newbury Park. So they're going to be there serving food. We're hoping to have some nice motorcycles to look at and just a little bit of everything, some autograph signing. Hoping maybe a couple of you would like to come out right out and support us. You know, actually, Courtney was her father is in charge of the 1916 motorcycle club, car club, that is usually down at Corky's. And if you're not familiar, and they have been raising money, that family, the Jones family, Chris, Sabina, and Courtney, raise money there for all these other charities. Now it's their turn. I'm not a member of the 1916, but I've really have this on my heart and mind for this young girl, 23 years old. She needs help with her medical bills, and, you know, they spend full time down there with her at the hospital. It's been really touch and go.
Now, can you repeat again, is it Saturday or Sunday? I'm sorry, I was trying to write that down. I got lost.
It's Saturday, this coming Saturday, March 23rd.
Right.
It's 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Brenda, you have all this written down?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I do. I have. In fact, I have it. You're on the event invitation. What else would you like me to do?
Send it to me in an email.
Oh, okay. I will send it to you in the email. I'll send you the link to the whole thing. There are so many other people that are invited through the media and everything that this invitation doesn't even cover it all, but, you know, that the people that know about it. So I just want to get more people aware of this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I will send it to you in your private, your
because,
Facebook email.
Yeah, I was just showing Bill a few minutes ago, But just from the first of the year, we have 1,967,000 people have looked at the blog.
Which is a good point. Those people which are long distance and cannot get this event, how can they participate? Is there a number is that they can send a check to?
Yes. Yes. You know what I'm going to do is we also have Nino925 that has given his he makes the biker rocker jewelry. He's giving 20% for 2 weeks off of his website. We also so people can buy off his website. 20% goes back. We also have my son, which is a high school baseball coach, that's going to give 20% of his lesson. I mean, not he's going to give a portion of his lessons for 2 weeks. You know. And he's not a rich man, but he's going to do this. And so also, they're setting up the site. So if you wanted to, I don't know how, maybe people could donate if they go onto your blog. You know, if they're not in the area, they can do it through your site.
Yeah, if you got a PayPal or something set up. And,
I mean, there is the Courtney Jones Wellness Foundation that is not I – there's another woman that has that set up that she collects money off of. This is something personally I wanted to do for them and their family, you know, to get this together, you know. So, but there's ways to donate. They can donate through you. They can, you know, I can give you other information.
Send an email and I'll post it for you because I've already got I think there's 10 of them up there now, for once for a little boy, once for another little boy, and a few other people.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be great. And we'll get that. We will send you a link for that.
Perfect.
I mean, do you want to make your own link with a PayPal, or you want to have a link to someone else collecting the money? Is that what you wanted to do?
Bill and I never collect money.
It goes right
to the organization.
It goes right to the organization.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, I don't have the PayPal, but I will send you information.
Okay.
And so you have 1 million viewers? I mean, listeners? Wow.
We have
1,967,000.
Wow. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. You're awesome.
Call in and share information with us. That's what makes the show. The show is not about Philip and I. As I've said over and over, the message is more important than the messengers. If people like you won't call and share information with us, what's the use of having the show? That's why we're popular and successful, because we're all together helping each other.
Correct. That's right. We're all together. That's right. And I appreciate
that. You can talk to
that
lady
much.
From the Wellness Foundation, and if she can give you a workable link for a PayPal or whatever they have set up, if they got stuff going to a bank and there's an account number, make sure I get all that, and I'll run it every couple of days for you.
That would be wonderful. And if you can shout out this event until Saturday, well, today's your last show until next week, right? So anything, but I'm going to send you that link.
Well, what you could also do is you could call in next week, Tuesday or Thursday, and just give everybody a reminder about Courtney.
Yeah. People that couldn't make the event still may want to cut a check or kick some money out that way.
Right.
We are mad at you for not contacting us earlier. Shame on you for not contacting us earlier.
You know what? My son just suggested this, I've had such little window of time. I could have done so much more because I'm really good at this. And you know what? I'm thinking, God, we just really did this real quick because the athletic schedules, my son's schedule, everybody's schedule is so busy that there wasn't a lot of Saturdays. So we grabbed this Saturday and went head on with it. And
okay,
you're right.
Well, don't worry.
I mean,
Phil's just giving you shit. What I'm saying is, as long as you have workable links and everything, and I know this is going to be an ongoing process, that we can just post a couple of days for you.
But try
that
to give us information.
Awesome.
Answers. We'll push it hard. We got friends everywhere, but scheduling events at the last minute with people's time sometimes a little bit difficult.
Yeah,
so.
Because if I'd have known this earlier because of the scheduling, but Emilio is a big baseball player.
Yeah, he is.
I could have got Emilio and some of the guys from the show to come out for this if I'd had a little more time notice.
Do you watch any of the Sons of Anarchy?
Well, I invited Philip, but he probably has so many events that he didn't see it. Right, Philip?
No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Emilio.
Oh, Emilio, you know what? Matt said he's supposed to bring Emilio. And Emilio is so humble and nice. I've met him a few times. And Matt told me he was going to bring Emilio and Danny Trejo out. But I can't say 100% because, in fact, I got to get a hold of Matt. I can't say 100% they're going to be there. But, yeah, I hope so.
Okay. They're always good. And Emilio loves baseball. He's a good baseball player, by the way.
I can find out about that.
Oh, awesome. If you could get a hold of Emilio, tell him Matt kept telling me, you know, let him know, send him a link. I did send him a link and a message, invitation stuff. So if you could tell him too, that would be awesome.
No worries on that one.
We'll push the best we can. Even though you didn't give us time.
Okay.
That's right. Hope you feel guilty on this.
Don't beat her over.
We should have contacted us early. This is a important event. Shame on you, woman.
Yes. Okay.
All right, Brenda, you take care, and I'll get back to you on that other stuff.
Okay, Brenda, that's not guilt for one night. Good calling, Brenda.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Baseball, you know, the batting cages, a little letting off steam and hostility, that made a bad thing to do. Let's look at our schedule. I don't know what we're going to try to do time-wise.
Hi, guys.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. You're live.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, buddy. How are we doing today?
It's Eunice.
Yes, dearest. We know, huh? But I always want you to tell us who you are, what state you're from, remember?
Yes.
Thank you.
Listen, I've got a link for you.
Uh-huh.
On the bill up in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Bill, if you go on Will, just put in Will Brownsberger.
Will Brownsberger?
Yep.
Okay.
Put that on.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the president. And you'll see the sexual abuse bill.
Okay.
And then, as you scroll down, they'll tell you, and I think it's S.633 bill.
X.663?
No, 633.
Oh, 633. I said it's 663 was the sign of the devil, right, Bill?
Well...
Yeah, it should be.
Ancient Hebrew language, that 666 didn't come out 666, but we'll let that all go for it. It's another night.
It's 633.
Okay.
If you scroll down that whole thing, you'll see it.
Yeah, I won't be able to do that right now, though, Eunice.
No, I know, but I'm just telling you ahead of time.
Okay,
dear.
Okay. Just, you can... it'll tell you about the whole bill.
Good deal.
Good deal.
What the changes are in that. So, and it's coming up quick. I just got notified today. So it's coming up quick. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And we got Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving right now.
Okay.
I'm what?
I showed Bill a text you sent me about driving in the snow.
That was a couple of hours ago. I was bringing my boy home from karate, and out of nowhere, I just got planked with a bunch of snow, and I was like, are you kidding me? And so, yeah, I figured I'd share the wealth with you California men.
I had to wear a T-shirt, but it was so cold, I had to put a Pendleton shirt on over the T-shirt today to come out and visit Phil tonight.
Well, let me tell you something, Bill. You know, be grateful that you're not out here back in Beantown because the weather has not been nice over the past 2 weeks.
No. My daughter's in the New Hampshire area, and I try to pay attention to what's going on. I did for some satisfaction. I was at a major party Friday night up in San Bernardino. Beautiful weather. Coming home, I got to the area called Temecula, California. I was in fog so thick. I went from the Diamond Lane, which is our fast lane, to the slowest lane possible. I was soaked. The fog was so bad. I didn't know where the hell I was.
Wow.
Yeah, I rode about 25, 30 miles in it, and I said, everybody else get off the freeway. It was crazy. It was nobody on the freeway but me. I was in the slow lane, just watched the little dots on the freeway, trying to find my way back home.
That's crazy.
I know.
Well, you know, Bill.
And I'm a senior citizen. I can't see it now.
You know,
get off the freeway, everybody.
You know, Bill, that
what, buddy?
Obama's at it again.
I'm on the phone.
Who's in the car?
Oh, well, I got a couple of friends of mine in the car, guys.
Well, say hello.
All right,
because I
say hello
be...
from California.
Hello from California.
Hello from California.
Good evening.
What?
Go home. We want you to help her pack. She's leaving now. No more snow.
Who's leaving?
You are. I want your friends to go home and help you pack. That's it. Enough.
I'm not going home for a while, guys. Too much snow up there.
Since you're in your car, Eunice, listen to this.
What?
The Obama administration is claiming that authorities do not need a court-ordered warrant to affix a GPS device to your vehicle.
That's right.
No warrant needed to track your car with a GPS device. The second of two GPS trackers found in a vehicle of a young man in California, President Obama is claiming that the authorities do not need warrants. The administration maintains, despite the Supreme Court's infamous decision last year that concluded that attaching GPS devices amounted to search protected by the Constitution, the administration is set to make its argument Tuesday of next week before a federal appeal court in a case testing the parameters of the High Court's 2012 decision. If the government prevails, the High Court's ruling would virtually be meaningless. This case is the government's primary hope does not need a judge's approval to attach a GPS device to your car. The ACLU said in a telephone interview. She'll square off, this lady's name is Catherine Crump, she'll square off Tuesday with Obama's administration lawyers in the 3rd U.S. Court of Appeals in Philadelphia. But the question of whether probable cause warrants issued by a judge are needed is an open one because High Court stopped short of answering it. The court ruled in January 2012 that attaching the device amounted to a constitutionally protected search because it was a trespass on a private vehicle.
Big Brother's here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. They're going to start following us in our cars.
Yeah, they're doing a lot. Not to change the subject, but Hermes is very sick.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, too.
What happened?
Well, he must have the flu real bad because I talked to him yesterday. And he could hardly talk. And
yeah.
He said he didn't have the show last night. So I told him, I said, don't have it tonight, Hermes. Just get some rest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to pass it on to you guys.
Have you got the Hermes' show so people can talk in and tune in and check him out?
Yes, Hermes Live at HermesLive.com.
Repeat that again for everybody one more time.
Hermes Live at HermesLive.com.
If you can, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, just tune in and say hello to him. Send what you send. I wish our best and all that because he's another guy out there in the wilderness speaking for those people that can't speak for themselves and all down good guys. So get a chance to say hello to him and say, hey, stay in there. Keep yourself healthy, boys and girls.
Yeah. You too, Bill. You know, we don't want you getting sick anymore.
Oh, no, child. I can't put under the sickness. Too many people in California went crazy. Too many people in Mexico went crazy. What if something happened to you and blah, 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 blah. So I appreciate I appreciate everyone that was concerned about me. But I'm healthy as a horse.
Well, I hope to be next month when I get home and see my doctors. And, maybe everything will turn out well back there, so... We'll see.
You know, I do want to say this. My grandmother, who smoked Pall Mall cigarettes her whole life and drank her whole life, doctor told her she had less than a year to live. She came out to visit me from Boston, South Boston, the fine Irish neighborhood. She lived 10 more years, and her doctor said she got the hell out of that New England weather. So think about what I'm saying. Get out.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I'll call you in later. I'm going to drop these fine people off.
All right.
I'll call you guys back when I can.
Eunice, you still haven't used that trust fund, all that money you've been saving away and all that. Good time to spend some of that money. Come on out here.
Oh, hey, you know, I really would like to, Bill. As long as you promise that I'm going to, you know, I'm a big girl. I think I'll ride in the back of you. Never mind the sidecar.
That sidecar. We can't have sidecars out here. Phil and I have to split traffic, or as we call it in California, lane sharing.
Well, I got to ride with one of you guys. You know.
I'll just tell you it's simple. We start lane sharing. Just close your eyes.
Oh, okay. I will. I promise you. I think I will do that.
We go.
Probably,
like
you know, this summer.
I like your attitude. Come on. I'll
fly out there.
Don't come up until we tell you what big event's coming up, so we can coordinate some type of big activity, okay?
All righty. I'll do that.
Good deal.
I'll call
you
guys back later.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Enjoy your night tonight.
All right. You too, Bill. So, talk to you later.
He's a good person, huh?
Yeah.
She's a good person.
So Stacy, how's the boy doing with the class?
Stacy? I don't see Stacy.
Yes, she's there.
508.
I muted for crying out loud. No, he's doing fantastic. He loves his karate class. He's like, ever since he was little, he's always been into the black and white Godzilla movies, you know, the old stuff. And he collects those little Godzilla things. And I don't know, he's just got a very big imagination, but he does excellent in karate. Keeps him grounded, you know. Extracurricular activity. It's a little bit of self-discipline. He has to know a little bit of respect, know a little bit of values. They teach this to them. They have a lesson every night that they sit all the kids down and they teach them about something positive. And I'm really happy.
When my son was 11, I think 11, he earned his black belt.
Nice. You know, if he makes it through this year, he'll, which I think he will, no problems, he'll begin what they call black belt training, and you have a little black line that goes in the middle of whatever color belt you are at that time, which shows, you know, that you're working your way towards your black belt. And that's all he talks about. So he's very much into it, and it takes up a good little amount of time for him during the week versus all them damn video games, and makes me happy because he's doing something that he likes. So
two of my riding partners are former Navy SEALs, and they're all black belts. I want to tell you, there is not a threatening bone in their body. We go somewhere, they will step aside for somebody. There is simply no reason for them to get upset because they know if anybody makes a mistake and tries to hit them, they'll break the guy's arm. So having all of that knowledge in there, I'm telling you, they're the most humble people I met. I've never yet rode with a Navy SEAL with any attitude. They are beyond attitude, and that's from training and self-discipline. I believe that fully. So it's a good deal.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that I'm impressed with the place that my son goes. They have all ages in the class. I mean, not like the bigger kids, but within my son's age bracket. They teach them a few self-discipline, I forget the name of it, but it's protection moves, basically. Like if somebody tried to grab their arm or drag them off, you know, they've taught these kids a few simple things that could possibly, you know, if they landed up in that type of trouble, get them freed out of the clutches of whoever might have grabbed them up. And once a month, they learn different little things to protect themselves, you know, to be able to get out of an emergency type situation. And it's impressive. The school is very family orientated, which I think is a positive thing. They don't have all that crazy grappling stuff going on where people's faces are getting plummeted and everything else, because it's American karate. I guess it's based out of Okinawa. So,
right.
You know, it's, I like it. He likes it, and, you know, so far so good.
Took some of that when I was in the Marine Corps stationed over there.
Oh, did you? Cool beans.
I have limited martial art training. My training is simply so that you don't want to fight me. You don't want to throw a punch at me. You don't want to throw a kick at me. I just want you, if you do have to get in with me, not to want to fight me. So whatever it is I can do defensively to make you not to want to fight me, that's my program. I'm not here to beat people up and all that, but the same way, I'm not here to be hit even once. I want you to realize in a matter of few seconds, I really don't want to hit this guy. I don't want nothing else to do with this guy. That's a happy fight for me. That's because of good training.
Or when you tell him stick around, my turn's coming.
Everybody's
Bill,
got their own.
How, How was the big bash at your place this week?
Oh, my.
Weekend.
It was the biggest deal. We started off with the Irish music, and then I had a surprise for everybody. I brought some Irish dancers in from the Irish Academy in San Diego. It was outstanding. A lot of people had never seen the Irish music or the Irish dancers and Irish music. Had the corned beef and cabbage for the people that wanted to try it. My mama, Mrs. Phyllis Kennedy, came down to see the Irish dancers. We had the mayor of Oceanside speaking. We had veterans organizations speaking. Afterwards, we brought a band in, a little more rock and roll music. We had 20 vendors in front of my shop. They saved between 400 and 500 motorcycles alone. And the weather was beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, everything went just by the book.
Nice.
I'm doing these big events. I'm putting out tiny fires. This was not a clean and sober or a Christian bike run. This was an all club run. So we had a lot of clubs there with a little ego problem going on. But everyone came up and said, Mr. Kennedy came to pay respect, came to have a good time, no problems, no beefs at all. And everybody just said, thank you for inviting us all. Everybody gets together well at Kennedy's Custom Cycles. It's one of the few places left, neutral territory. Have a good time. So.
Basically,
That's awesome.
The two that I know of is your place and Espinosa's Leathers in Rosemead.
By the way, I will be having a magazine, Quick Throttle. They've done a whole thing on the St. Paddy's Day thing. They'll be giving me a link so you can check all the pictures they took of the show. And we had some news cables. Whatever, I call stuff in there. So once I get the information on that, you can all tune in and see all the pictures. I was resplendent in my Irish outfit, I guarantee everybody.
So you didn't take no pictures of Bill in his Irish outfit. You could have sent us one. Jeez.
Coming on the Quick Throttle publication, as soon as they release it, you can tune in and see all the ones. It's got a big magazine article. Whatever didn't get in the magazine article will also be available for you to watch online or something like that.
Yeah. Hello? You still there?
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, man,
I didn't have time to take pictures. I didn't get there till late.
Oh,
he was at the bar drinking. He got there late.
Nah, because they know I don't drink, Bill.
Yeah, but I like to say things like that.
I'm always late for everything. My friends usually tell me be there 30 minutes. They, finagle me if something's going to go down at 8 o'clock. They tell me to be there for 7:30 because I'm always late. Always. I never on time for anything. It's horrible.
Anal about leaving on time. I'm going to leave at 1:30. That means you should be there at 1:15 and don't pull into the damn gas station or wherever it is and say, I'm going to gas up. You better have your vehicle gassed up ready to go before you hook up with me. I am not putting up with that type. When we pull into a gas station, say we take about 50 people, everybody gasses up, takes a break. The last motorcycle, they'll go and gas up. They'll go and use the restroom. They'll pull their bike off to the side. They will sit there and smoke a cigarette. I always go for smokers. When they're done with their cigarette, the last motorcycle, they fire their bike up. That means we are leaving. I'm not standing out in the middle of the program and saying, everybody, let's go, let's go. Pay attention. The last motorcycle fires up. Get on board. We're leaving. I don't run a motorcycle club. It's not an organization. These are people that want to go. Stay with our program. First of all, you got to have a good motorcycle. We check your bike out very carefully for bald tires, bad running bikes. If your bike is not up to par, we're going to say to you, we're sorry. We don't want you riding with us. I cannot afford to have somebody in the middle go down because your bike isn't up to par. Every now and then I hurt people's feelings on this. I don't care. You should know to maintain your motorcycle. You should have everything prepared. If my telling you you can't go hurt your feelings, I don't feel sorry about it because I'm telling you in the air, I'm telling everybody all day, do the maintenance on your motorcycle or don't put us all in jeopardy. So that's it in a nutshell. Not that I'm a hard-ass guy. I'm not, boys and girls. But I'm telling you, you've got to have your vehicle up to par. Don't put us all at jeopardy. All right, I'm off the soapbox opera. I'm back again.
I heard those ice cubes. What are you drinking?
I'm cheating. Pepsi.
Pepsi. Man, what is it with you West Coast people and Pepsi? That's all you drink. Don't you guys drink any tea? Tea's good for you. Loaded with antioxidants. That Pepsi
I drink tea morning and at night because I'm not supposed to have any Pepsi because my doctor says it's bad for me. So I sneak here at Phil's house and I have a Pepsi, thinking nobody will find out about it. Not knowing something's going to be worldwide, Bill's had a Pepsi. Thank you very much, dear.
You're welcome. Now, see, you shouldn't be drinking it then, you know, bottom line to it. Now wait till you see all the emails you're going to land up with. Why are you drinking Pepsi?
The Pepsi machine in the motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, I don't touch it. I don't touch the machine. All day long I drink water. I come over with Phil's, you know, what's a Pepsi going to hurt me, right?
Yeah.
Of course, Phil charged me $3.50 a small can for Pepsi, but, you know, it's the way it is. It's the way it is.
$3.50 a can. Well, that's about a good California price, ain't it?
No, it's a Phil Hennigan price.
It's a Phil price. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, this is crazy.
I was talking earlier, I don't know if you caught that, about alien DNA.
Yeah, what's up with that? Did you have a weird dream last night or something to be like...
I just looked at Phil and realized he's not really running the norm. Something is out of whack. And I thought, who else is out of whack in America? I thought about that basketball player. You know, Dennis Rodman.
Oh, don't even put me in it.
He's
funny.
Out of whack. Then I thought about, remember Tiny Tim? Something
yeah,
is wrong
Dude, I met Tiny Tim at AmJam in Schenectady, New York.
When I was a young man, I went to a concert, and there was a group called the Chambers Brothers, and they did a song, The Time Has Come Today. Time has come today, time. Well, I took a few, I was there partying, and I fell asleep in the sun in the concert with the Chambers Brothers doing Time Has Come Today. I woke up, I don't know when, and there's a man on stage going, tiptoe through the tulips. I thought I was on some bad drugs. This man got me, I was concerned about him. Now, let's jump up a little further. Michael Jackson. There's something wrong with that man. I think the aliens gave us DNA, but there is some people that just didn't function. Then I looked around, Philip Hennigan. Something isn't functioning correct. Alien DNA. I can't prove it. It's just a theory, boys and girls.
Philip Hennigan.
I'm telling you, think about it. Think about it.
Phil, do you glow in the dark at night when you sleep, Phil?
Just around the edges, they say.
I can imagine.
Of course, I've never been with him in the dark when he sleeps, so I can't swear to that, though.
Oh.
You heard a yes.
That's a very bad school right there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since the first of the year, we've got 1,969,774 people.
41 more thousand people will get up to 2 million.
Yep.
And change. Who thought anybody would even listen to us? And again, I have to tell everybody that's listening, you people that call in, you're the show. You're the reason people listen from around the world. A lot of people do not want to get on the air because they're uncomfortable, they're nervous. They want to hear what you have to say, whatever state you're calling me from. If this show is only about Phil and I, this is no show at all. So again, everybody that's listening that would like to call and say something, please, we encourage you. Listen if you want, but share what's going on in your neighborhood. That's all we ask, boys and girls. So how long has Hermes been out sick? Just the past show or what?
A couple of days.
Couple days now. Oh, I didn't realize that.
I got a request for this today, Bill.
But there's a reason.
We'll be right back.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Good point. Let's also forget that the American education, what are we, 26th in the world?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you'll only be educated if you start reading internationally. Read what's going on in Europe, what's going on in England. Read what's going on in Mexico, what's going on in Canada. Please do not just read what goes on in America. You're getting a slanted view. Worldwide education is everything in here. Worldwide information is everything. This program is reaching out to everyone because we want to talk about what's going on. Now, George Carlin, as for some strange reason, people love to hear that man speak. You know, he's not a philosopher. He's just an average American. He's not reading any deep information. What he's telling you about is what's going on right in front of you. I want to talk just a moment here. There's a epic poem called the Iliad. We have got Homer. We've got, Helen of Troy. We have got Ulysses, the great hero. That poem has been around for a long time. And I recently found psychiatrist who took parts of that poem, and he talked about Vietnam. He talked about the warriors coming back from Greece, that they were taking lotus. Now, lotus means drugs. Our Vietnam vets were coming back taking drugs. They're talking about the Greek warriors coming back getting drunk all the time. Our Vietnam vets came back getting drunk all the time. They talked about the Greek warriors having such little respect for women because they were raping the women over there. They're having prostitutes. For many of our servicemen going to Vietnam, the first time they had sex was with prostitutes. Many of these American men came back with a ill feeling towards women, calling them hoes and prostitutes. This statement I'm trying to make is, we have had warriors throughout the centuries. They're fighting the same wars. We have our sons and daughters coming back. They need help. We sent healthy sons and daughters over there. We're coming back with sons and daughters that need help. Post-traumatic stress, missing arm, missing leg. We have to get these people back and healthy. And we can go back to any war you want to go, World War I or whatever. It's the same problems. We used to call post-traumatic stress cowardice back in the day because we didn't understand it that well. They talked about men going berserk in the early wars. We have men going berserk today. When are we going to make a commitment to our sons and daughters who we send overseas to fight the wars in America in countries I don't even know how to pronounce? When are we going to make a commitment, say, when these sons and daughters come home, we're going to be there to help them? I don't mean half-ass help them. We made a commitment. We sent healthy boys and girls over. We got to get them healthy so they can have families and jobs. Sorry about that a little bit, but I just wanted to understand that. I was studying so much about this epic poem and how these Greek warriors came back from fighting and how the Vietnam warriors came back. And then today we've got the guys coming back from Desert Storm. What does it take for the government to step in and say, we have to step up and help these people?
They're gaming it.
You know, we're hearing about send us more money and we're going to improve the hospitals and all that. The hospitals still don't want to talk about Agent Orange.
No.
I was doing some research. The man who invented Agent Orange, he was devastated when he found out that the government used that in Vietnam. That was not his intent at all. He fought the government to the best of his abilities to say, stop using this. This is not for war. We screwed up so many people, our own people. The man that invented it, he didn't want that to happen. But as far as the government goes, the big picture, as Gerald Carlin says, we'll never know what's going on. But in a small way, you can help the veteran in your hometown. I think that'd be an awful lot. Okay, I'm off that subject too. Sorry about that. Why do you guys let me talk like that? Jump in. Stop me. Somebody make a comment on what I just said, please.
Because it makes sense. Everything you just said made sense. Agent Orange killed my uncle. All of his major organs shut down. He walked into work and didn't even make it through the threshold of the door, and he dropped to his knees. And within 48 hours, they told my aunt that he needed a complete heart, lung, and liver transplant, and it was because of the effects of Agent Orange from when he went to Nam. Everything you're saying is true. So no one's going to argue with things that we know are true.
But our government just is not stepping up to the plate. When they sprayed Agent Orange, they said it was mosquito repellent.
Yep.
Boy, what a shit that.
And it's sad because my uncle was a very proud man, and the military had offered him something. They had offered a bunch of people different things for the Agent Orange stuff, and he turned it away. He didn't want nothing to do with that, and look what happened in the end. It killed him, you know, completely. So I don't know too much about all the details with that because I have two uncles. Actually, he's dead. My other uncle has got cancer and a couple of different other things, and it's from Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he came back. He wasn't even home like 5 years, and he developed like the shakes in one of his hands. His hands had tremors and stuff, and that was like a direct side effect from Agent Orange. So it's messed up a couple of people in my family, and when you get to talking about that stuff, you're going to hear absolutely no argument out of me at all.
You know, one of the problems I've encountered being around the motorcycle world for 40 years, I've never met a veteran in my life who is suicidal. Now, I'm sure maybe some of them are, but I've got friends coming home from the wars and they're homicidal. They want to be in the bad part of town. They want to be in the bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're ready to start a fight. Many of them don't give a damn if today's the last day of their life, if they get killed so much for it. They're not suicidal. The stress they're under is putting them in situations where I want to be in a situation that maybe my life may be gone. but I don't know people that want to kill themselves. There are people coming back from Vietnam and the new wars going over Desert Storm. The stress they're under is too much for their families. Therefore, their wives leave. They can't hold a job. I was a year ago, I was with a friend of mine, Danny Deal, Vietnam Vet War. We were outside at a restaurant in a patio. A sheriff's helicopter came over the restaurant, flying low. In the middle of a sentence, Danny Deal jumped under the table. And I said, Danny, what the hell are you doing? He said, I heard the noise. I felt the noise. I said, Danny, get out from under the table. That was a sheriff's department. That's a United States helicopter. He goes, you don't know shit about friendly fire, do you? I've been fired upon by my own helicopters over there in Vietnam. Just the sound of a helicopter, I'm ducking for comfort, Bill. There's a man that left the war so long ago, and yet just a sound, a taste, a smell turns this man into a crazy man again.
My uncle fought in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. And growing up as a kid, we stood at my aunt and my uncle's house and my grandmother's house. Now, you're going back to when I was a little girl, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And he would bellow in the middle of the night, screaming about all different kinds of things that were going on in Germany. And my aunt would get up and go to his bedside and gently wake him up. And she'd come out of the room and say to us, she said, that's the war. He's got the shell. The way she said it, he's got the shell shock going on. And that's
right.
What we were raised with, that statement, he's got the shell shock. But, you know, this was many years later, afterwards. I think when you go to war, you never fully get it out of your system. You know, I think even with years of therapy, you know, a smell, a sound, anything could trigger a memory that possibly might not be good.
Many of the families, they think, well, the war has been over for years now. Why hasn't he put this behind him? He or she is trying to put that behind him, but it takes an awful lot. I think I told you a story before, but I'm going to repeat it. 2 years ago, I got a call from the police department. They said, can you come down the street to the local highway? We have a guy hiding in the bushes. And I said, what the hell are they calling me for? So I jumped on my bike and I went down there, and they had several squad cars lined up. And they said, we have a Vietnam veteran jumped off his motorcycle, ran in the bushes. So I parked my bike. And they didn't want to go in wearing the uniforms in the bushes. So I walked in. I went, hey, hey. And I heard, you say that one more time, I'll shoot you where you stand, you son of a bitch. We're surrounded by VC. So I worked my way back in. I talked to the guy. I told him I'm going to call a couple Navy SEAL partners of mine up. We're going to get him out of here. We did get him out of there. We got him to the VA hospital where he took a month in the VA hospital. I contacted the local Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club. They were nice enough to run down, take his motorcycle to their place so when he got out, they were ready to help him out. Now, this man was riding down the highway. We don't know a sound, a smell, a taste. We don't have any idea what it was. It was so strong, he parked his bike on the shoulder, ran into the bushes and was hiding. They don't have a clue what happened. But again, a sound, a smell, a taste, who knows? It doesn't go away. We can't keep expecting our veterans to say, oh, come on now, enough time's gone by, grow out of it. Many of them will never grow out of it. As family members, we've got to stand behind these people. Someday, if the government doesn't get off its stuff, someday, we family members are going to give a message to Congress, a message to our president. In fact, I'm going to give the message right now. Mr. President, Congress, if you won't take care of our sons and daughters when they come back, if you won't get them the help they need, maybe we won't send our sons and daughters in the military anymore. Now, I'm a third generation all military. Everybody in my family is military. If we can't get the help for our sons and daughters, at what point in time do we say, I'm not sending my son, I'm not sending my daughter? Now, draft's a different story. But I'm saying right now, maybe at some point I may want to say, I don't want my kids over there because they're not getting the help they need when they get home. Not against the military. Don't anybody get on the high horse about that bullshit. I'm all military. I'm just saying, maybe at some point I don't want my children overseas at war. Anybody want to talk about that?
I went through that with my daughter. My daughter's in the United States Army, and she purposely waited till she turned 18 to tell me that that's where she was going, because I respect the military, anybody who's in the military, a great deal, but I didn't want my daughter being in the Army. When she turned 18, she told me, and she said, you can either be supportive of me on this, or she said, you know, we're just going to get into a very big argument. And I tried sitting her down and laying out the pros, which I didn't find any, and lots of cons. And she turned around and said, you know, that there's more to life, and she needed to find what she was looking for. She wasn't quite ready to do the college thing, but she didn't want to sit around with a lousy part-time job, and she wanted to see a little bit of the country.
I'm not against the war. I'm not against the military. In fact, I would send Philip tomorrow. It wouldn't bother me at all. I myself would go tomorrow. Well, no, hang on. I myself would go tomorrow. I'm just saying, I'm getting at a point now, I'm not sure I want to send my son and daughter overseas.
Well, you know, we can go to Russia. We can go to Australia, get paid four times what they pay our military.
No, I'm not against the military.
They don't have no agent.
Let me jump here. We got a 619 phone call, 578. You're on the air. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Well, Bill, it's been a while since I spoke to you.
I know that voice, but tell us who you are, where you're from, please.
Okay, this is Fran.
Mm-hmm.
And I am from San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And a couple things that you had touched on. And Agent Orange was actually a product that was used to kill the foliage.
Correct.
And that product was also used in New York City where the tracks were, because they found that it was so effective. Until they started seeing the ramifications of that product. So they stopped using it. Now, a really good friend of ours, Eddie had Agent Orange real bad, and our military were not allowed to claim Agent Orange. They had to claim it as a nerve condition.
Correct.
And Eddie would spend 30 days in the hospital, not 29, not 2 weeks. He had to stay in the hospital for 30 in order for the government to pay for his hospital bill. Now, when you're talking about suicide, people always think of that as a very cowardice thing. And it's not. It takes someone a great deal to actually cross over in that realm. When someone does cross over in that realm, I know families take that as something that was done to them, and they did not actually consider that oftentimes when they have crossed over in that manner, that they're trying to do their family a favor so that they
just
don't hurt them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing. So when people, you know, commit suicide, you know, then just say the person was suicide. It was a suicide, that's all. Yes, the person killed themselves. Oftentimes that has nothing to do with other individuals around them other than they don't want to hurt their children or anything along those lines.
Fran, let me stop for a second. My experience with my biker friends is none of them are suicide, but they're all crazy enough to think that they want to put themselves in situations where they could die. Being a bar fight, being joining a motorcycle gang, going to war with my friends, the people I know, none of them are suicide, but every one of them would take a bullet in 5 minutes and not feel bad about it. They're tired of living. They don't want to get out of bed. They're depressed. But again, never have I met anybody of my biker friends that said, Bill, I think I'm going to kill myself. But they've all said to me, let's do it no matter what the hell happens. Let's go get those people. So this is what I find kind of paradoxical. The result is the same, but my friends seem to be so aggressive, they don't want to be passive and say, let me put an end to my suffering on myself and my family. They're saying, let's put ourselves in a situation that perhaps we will be killed. Have you run across that at all, friend?
Yes. And we probably know a number of individuals that fit that.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. And when you say that we should be more open to it, you know what? Sometimes just listening to them,
mm-hmm.
one would think that they're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, kind of like step number one. Recognize that they're in trouble. Because once you can recognize someone's in trouble, you might be able to help them. And oftentimes, it's not going to be someone that is close.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, today this 19-year-old sailor.
Yeah. He's on the news everywhere, but tell us about it.
Was found shot today, Bill. Two to the back of the head.
Where was this at? San Diego, what, a ship?
On the USS Essex.
Look, he was on a ship, shot twice in the back of the head.
And later died at UCSD.
All right. What was
Nobody the... knows. They found her shot.
I'll be damned. 19 years old, but shot in the back of the head. That'd be kind of hard for me to assume suicide, unless you're completely ambidextrous, where, you know what I mean? So I'm assuming that'd be a murder case, but again, maybe not.
Maybe not.
19 years old, United States Navy, killed.
Mm-hmm.
This goes on so many times, so often. You know, we have so many of our people come in my motorcycle shop, and they are suffering from post-traumatic stress. That means they got attitudes. I deal with more damn attitudes than you people can imagine. But if you were a biker before you went in the military, being around my bike shop, being around carburetors, being around fenders, being around gas tanks, being around the motorcycles, by osmosis, slowly you diffuse yourself. Then eventually we find one guy talking to another guy about motorcycles. What a big step, because at the VA hospital, they're trying to put round pegs in square holes. That's not working. They're out there playing instruments, music therapy. Doesn't work for everybody. But we have so many vets that come to my shop, and you see them, of course. How many times? They are tight as a drum. They're going to snap. But sometimes a week, 2 weeks, who knows how long it takes. Some less, some more. Being around the motorcycle, it just kind of brings them back to a safer time, a better time in their life, and helps them ease through the pain they're in right now. So therapy is different for everybody. That's the problem. If one form of therapy would be for everybody, we could resolve this. We can't. Everybody has got to find a different way of therapy. We try to help the way we can.
Good.
I want to yell at somebody. Go ahead.
Just to go back, it's unclear if the sailor's wounds were self-inflicted or any suspects were involved in the shooting, but I'm here to tell you, Bill.
Excuse me. Would you repeat that sentence one more time, a little slower, a little louder?
It is unclear if the sailor's wounds were self-inflicted or if any suspects were involved in the shooting.
It's unclear if two shots to the back of his head was self-inflicted. Yeah, I got a little kind of concerned about that one. Perhaps I'm wrong. Fred, I have a direct question for you.
Yes, hon.
Where the hell were you at St. Patty's Day? You're only 40 miles from my shop. I had people come from all over everywhere. What were you doing on St. Patty's Day you didn't come up and visit me?
Well, I had already told Phil I was already committed to 2 days of classroom. All right.
Phil, for reminding me, you did say that to me. Okay.
I was in school. I was being a student.
All righty.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was coming home from just to switch gears here, because I read something about this devil riot and our sin mob and all this other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know who pulled up next to me at a red light yesterday? Danny Boy.
Oh.
Was he wearing his colors and all
no
that?
No colors.
No. Well, do you think that he thinks he's actually in a motorcycle world. Do you think he knows he's on TV?
Well, you know,
Does he think he's an actor? Does he think he's a biker, or is he a biker trying to be an actor? Now we know the Sin Mob, that's owned by Discovery. Those are actors. But what about the Laughing Devils? Are they actors?
Well, I don't know.
Being bikers, being actors.
Would you, you know, if you got thrown out of your club, would you go to the other club to be a spy and hoping you get back in your club?
Listen to me. If you left my club and you were a spy, you would never come back into my club. I'm telling you right now.
You wouldn't be around. But it's just like with.
But this damn show's like a train wreck.
Well,
I gotta watch it.
Sure. Okay.
But it's driving me crazy.
Well, here's my take on this. By
all right.
This is just an average joke.
All right.
So I watched another episode. It's really a car crash TV. Anyway, Prospect Rob, dear oh dear, where do we start? So bad was the script, the poor acting, the so-called chase scene where the prospect was doing an alleged 80 miles an hour around sharp bends. Superbike and MotoGP boys would struggle, but good old Prospect Rob had no fears because he stated he takes his colors and his patch seriously, not like some of the fake clubs out there. My mouth literally didn't shut for a while after hearing that statement. And then there was the chase scene. I wondered why the Harley actually on the back of a trailer as the rest of the engine were not even close to being in sync with the throttle action. Andy obliterated giving the bird to the undercover cops. Oh, and he had no idea what the drop in the desert was going to be.
Let's talk for a second then. He gave the bird with the right hand, the throttle hand.
Right.
So he's running like hell fast he can, hold on to the throttle. He lets go of the throttle to flip somebody off.
I think he sitting on a trailer, Bill.
Oh, my God.
And he obliterated giving the bird to the undercover cops. And, oh, he had no idea what the drop in the desert was going to be because he took his little backpack and the drop fitted right in there like a glove.
Yeah.
Major and epic fail along with so much more of the content. I kind of feel bad for the old fellow who's been voted in as prez, as it seems to me he actually believes it's all real.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's my concern is where, I wondered, are these people, there's no credibility left, boys and girls. There's no credibility. However, if they are actors, then they're doing a good job. Well, the script is bad and the acting is bad. But I really hope that they don't believe that they really are a motorcycle club. I watched two beatings on that show. The Sin Mob beat up the prospect and took his colors. Okay, I'm not a good fighter. I've lost almost every fight. I've told you guys that in the past. But
well,
my bad comedy.
The only one you won was because that girl was drunk.
Every fight I was in, though, my T-shirt gets ripped to pieces or it gets stretched out a mile. I watched the prospect. He didn't have a mark on him after taking his colors. And then we watched that Tank fought the guy Rock'em. And Rock'em punched him and beat him. And I looked at Tank. His T-shirt was immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a black eye, a bloody nose. He didn't have no missing teeth. And I'm thinking, wow. This show has either, it's got to get worse so we can really laugh, or it's got to get better so hopefully we can begin to understand it. The only reason I encourage friends of mine listening across the country in different countries now is, truly, it gives us a beautiful view of what San Diego looks like.
Yeah.
The back roads, the ocean.
And just as two guys with over almost 80 years of experience riding, what you've seen on TV is not what...
No. No. Because there's some hardcore clubs out there that are just gagging. This is not the San Diego club scene. Please, no matter what part of the country you're watching this, television, paid actors... if we take it at face value, it's okay. But please don't believe San Diego bikers are that type of caliber. We have good people in this area. These people here are making money, and that's their job. That's okay. Have you, you know, I've never seen a Syndicate Mob, or I've never seen the Laughing Devils.
None of them.
You know, again, I'm not Mr. Everywhere, but I ride an awful lot. So, again, for everybody who wants to watch the program, please. It's a great opportunity for you to see what San Diego's like. But they never come to North County.
No.
So, well, anyway, if you get a chance to see North County, we're beautiful up here, too. The show is good for the sake of scenery. But please, stop faxing me. Please tell me, is that what really San Diego bikers are like? You know it's not true. It's a TV show. There was a TV show called Then Came Bronson 30 years ago. He would ride around on a Harley-Davidson, then jump through the air. In the middle of the air, he'd be on a Harley-Davidson 175 Rapido. He would he would land on his Harley Davidson. It's all about acting, but the scenery is beautiful, boys and girls. I'm sorry, Paul, I got a little tickle in my throat here. What are you doing over there, buddy?
So I'm just answering one of Henry's texts. He said,
Henry's joining Laughing Devils? What?
No, Henry,
he's joining Syndicate Mob.
Henry wanted to know if it was, if I felt good sitting next to Numbnuts.
What did he say?
He wanted to know if I felt good sitting next to Danny Boy.
I'm sorry. But they're talking about me. What the hell, you know? Jesus. I thought Henry and I were okay.
I'd like to cut in for a second and back up on something else you had said.
Please jump in.
One of the things that when someone comes into a biker situation, you know, someone that's, let's say, had a real rough time, military or whatever the situation is, in being among bikers, you don't have to talk. You don't have to participate. You can just be there. And you're still part of the family, depending on what family it is, but they're safe. When you go out and ride, you're still riding as an individual, but you're still part of a pack. Kind of like a wolf pack. You're part of, you're in the midst of, you're semi being protected. And there's a comfort in that for a number of individuals. And sometimes we lose sight of that. I'm sorry if people don't like the fact that I ride a fucking Honda. But guess what? It opens a lot of doors for me. And especially with the four-wheelers and mommies and daddies with their little brats.
Well, you know, Fran, you said something very important. I want to say something. You know that if I have a microphone and I'm on stage, everybody's in for a long
nobody
afternoon.
Gets to word in edgewise.
Nobody does. But you've seen me at bike events and all that. When I pull up, I'm just happy to be there. I don't need to walk around. I don't need to talk to people. I'm going to sit there. Anybody wants to walk up and talk to me, I feel like I belong there. I don't have to force myself. Now, being a microphone, being on stage, I've got an itinerary, a script, and all that stuff. You've heard me do this before so many times, Fran. But when I go to a biker event, I just feel like, as you just said, it's an extended family. I don't care what clothes I'm putting the event on. I pull up and get off my bike. I'm good to go. I'm comfortable. If it's a major club run, I leave my keys in the ignition. I leave my leather jacket on the motorcycle because I'm their guest. That's how much I feel comfortable. And sometimes when I go to picnics with the company picnics and how do you do, I'm so-and-so. I don't need to do any of that bullshit at all. That's why I find so peaceful about going on the bike runs and all that. By the way, I'm going to Yuma in a couple of weeks in Arizona. Hopefully anybody will be at Yuma, Arizona.
There's a event run that's going to be here in San Diego, and I promised that I would support them. So maybe next year.
You know, Bill.
I didn't know that. Well, good, but good.
Well, go ahead, Fran. Finish.
What vet run? I missed that one.
The guy John is working on it, and it's the same time as the prison run.
Okay.
And I told him, he called me and he says, you take really, really good pictures, and could you? And you know something? When someone is trying to do something for our vets, there's no way I could say no, hon. I mean,
no, I agree. You know, at the same time, the skeleton crew are having a major bikini bike wash up in Temecula, California, the same time that veteran run's going on, the same time I'll be over in Arizona. I didn't plan to plug that, but I just realized the fact that anybody knows the skeleton crew in San Diego, this is going to be a good party. Again, I can't be everywhere, though.
Well, if I could, I am trying to get my head straight. So it's taking me a little while to get back into essentially the biker in the world of things. But this is a good start for me. How about the break-in into one of the Harley shops?
You know, that's enough. You know what? I've never known anybody, you talk about the San Diego Harley-Davidson break-in shop, I've never known any news people to cover a minor thing like a break-in. Seems kind of strange, doesn't it? They didn't steal any motorcycles. They just took leather jackets and some boots. It was a smash and grab. Have you ever heard of anybody, any of the TV stations advertising something like that, Fran?
Nope.
No, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
That's not the first time he's been broken into.
No.
You know, Bill, Henry, you and him are in
I'm
the
sure course. If they could have gotten those handlebars through that window, they probably would have tried to heist one.
Yeah. I should point out very quickly before I forget, one of the reasons I'm going to Arizona is there's a motorcycle club from Nevada, the Iron Crossman. They've asked me to come on down. I meet them once or twice a year. They are the best cooking motorcycle club I've ever met in my life. I met them in Arizona one year. They said, Bill, come up to Las Vegas.
Well, you know that guy complains out of the meat to the hotel.
That's right. The president of the club is the largest meat packer in the whole state of Nevada. When that boy says he's going to feed me, God damn it, that club feeds me. So they told me they're going to bring me a...
Does that mean if I ride your coattails, that they'll feed me too?
Child, I guarantee it. The Iron Crossman out of Nevada. What an outstanding group of motorcycle people.
Their clubhouse, you go in the front and it's a bar.
Yep.
You go in the middle and it's like a theater.
Right.
You go in the backyard and
it's another bar.
Another bar and then an acre and a half of just cooking and fun.
Fran, when I was back at their clubhouse in Las Vegas a while ago, now, I'm not much of a cook. I don't know anything about cook at all. They had a barbecue, and they pressed buttons. The barbecue went underground. I don't know if that helps the cooking. I just thought that was cooler and shit. Then they'd press the buttons. It would come up from the ground, below the ground. They'd check everything out, press the buttons, the barbecue would go underground again. Again, I don't know anything about cooking. I thought that was cool.
Say goodnight to Stacy.
That's a slow cook, hon.
I don't know anyone from another. You know that.
Say goodnight to Stacy.
Stacy. Good night, Stacy. Now
night,
it's time
Stacey.
To say goodbye. Sleep tight, Stacy. Fran, your health doing okay?
Pardon?
Is your health doing fine, darling?
Amenza, and kind of similar to yours, where if we behave ourselves, we might make it.
No, since my last little episode, I'm shifting into the next gear. Now I'm realizing that was the first time I was ever in a hospital in my life. Since I realize now I am vulnerable, I'm going to shift into the highest gear I can get. We're not taking no chances. By the way, I have a party next month at Kennedy's Motorcycle Shop. The bike blessing. You get a chance to come up for that.
I will be there.
Okay, good.
Me and my new camera. My new camera right now.
Huh?
Paul, my new camera right now. The one body and the one lens. You could put my two Hondas together,
uh-huh.
and this camera costs more than that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I can't do any of that stuff at all. I can't even stand it. In fact, right now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if I'm at a motorcycle run, do not ask me to take your picture. And then get mad if I cut your head off. I don't do it. Don't ask me. Find somebody who's walking around with a camera, ask them to do it. Don't ask me who's not carrying any damn camera, Bill, please take a picture. I'm going to screw it up. Stop it. Fran Del Santo, ask that child. She can take pictures. There we go. Got that off my chest.
The one thing I do need from you is there's that woman that was in the military, I think twice you said, and in the police force, and I would really like to do a photo shoot on her before we lose her.
I've lost contact already.
Huh?
I've lost contact with that person already.
Oh, crap. Okay.
You know, people don't stay. They go back east. They go Midwest. They're trying to find an answer to questions they have. I have a lady who's right now in the Midwest trying to do a movie. She left me just recently, another woman veteran, trying to do a movie about her lifestyle. I lose Well, you know, same as you do. We lose people all the time. They're transitory. I'm staying
That's our lifestyle.
Yeah.
That is us. I mean, but that's why no matter a biker around the world is a biker.
Exactly.
And no matter what part of the country we're in, if you ride a bike, they recognize a true biker. And they'll welcome you into their house. And that's the one thing that has always been a true blessing.
Yes.
And I mean, more than 20 years ago, when I first had my little Rebel, because that's all I could find that I could reach the ground, I remember Red saying to me, he invited me over to his house, and he says to me, he says, "What do you want from this?" And I was like, "Huh?" And I said to him, I said, "You know what? The biker community is the closest I can come to a deaf community. A deaf community, first you're deaf and then whatever else you are. In the biker community, I might not like your hometown bike community, but you're a biker first. I will deal with you as a biker, and we will cross the road at that."
Correct. Fran, let me tell you about a little analogy. I love to tell this when I speak. One of my trips to Sturgis, I was stayed at the KOA campground. I don't know what state I was in. It doesn't really matter. I pulled in the KOA campground. I made a little drive around, and I found me a little space on my panhead, my 64 panhead stretched. And I parked my bike. Within a few minutes, two brothers from Nebraska on 650 Yamahas came in, KOA campground, drove around, pulled up to me and said, "Hey, man, can we join you?" I said, "Please, jump right in there." A little bit later, we had a couple from Canada on a 650 Yamaha. They're on their honeymoon. They came in the campground, drove around, saw us bikers, pulled right up and said, "Hey, man, can we join you?" About dark, a father and son came in on a BMW motorcycle on their way to California. Now, we're all going different directions. We were total strangers. Came into the campground. Within minutes, we're all talking, laughing, putting a mulligan stew together, talking about the road ahead of us, behind us. In the morning, we woke up. We all went separate directions. But for that one moment in time, it didn't matter if you're on that Yamaha, Kawasaki, or the BMW, or my panhead. We were travelers, travelers across America. I will never forget that experience because total strangers came up to me and said, "Can I join you?" That is what, in my opinion, brotherhood of motorcycle is. Not do you have the brand new disco duck motorcycle. Are you out there riding your motorcycle?
Similar to that, when I was coming back from Alaska, I had pulled in to a campsite. I got one of the two remaining campsites that was available, and a biker did come in, and he did stop. He saw my bike, and I said, "Look, there's plenty of room here." He says, "Well, I want to see if I can find a better spot." I says, "Well, be my guest." And he went through the campsite and came back and said, "There's no place else to go." I says, "Well, then you better pull up a spot." But you know something? For about 3 years, we kept in contact with each other via email. And it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be learned out there on the road. You know, watching out for each other. You know, when you get to one destination, you kind of look for, you know, the bikers that you had seen earlier that left before you just to make sure that they're okay. I don't know. At least that's, I do that, okay? That's that mother hen in me that just wants to make sure that my brothers and sisters out there on the road are okay.
Mm-hmm.
That someone didn't push them off the road or whatever, which is, oh, God, that's getting tough. Sometimes I wish I had your hammer, give them a dent or two. No, I'll be good. I'm trying to be good. Honest.
Fran,
you know what you got to do, Fran? They just came out with a new shirt. It says honk if you've never seen anybody shoot from a motorcycle.
You know, Fran, Philip and I can't speak one word of Espanol, Mexican, we know that. And yet, Philip and I travel all over Mexico. just bikers wherever we go. I went up to Sugar Bear. He said one of the legendary custom bike builders up in Compton, Normandy Avenue.
It was getting dark, wasn't it?
Oh, it was getting dark. I couldn't find the exact direction, so I pulled off the side of the road there. These gentlemen on the corner had MS-13 spray painted on all the walls, tattooed on their faces. I said, I'm trying to find this biker. He has a shop in this area called Sugar Bear. And these hardcore gangbangers came and said, hey, man, go right down that alley, the end of the corner, turn right, take you right to Sugar Bear's shop. Because they have respect for Sugar Bear. That's why I want to travel. There's bikers out there everywhere, and our Mexican adventures, well, I can never put them in a book, but they're legendary.
No, you'd have to change the name.
I ain't doing it. My wife would just find out, you know. But anyway, that's why I travel. There's people out there everywhere I want to meet. I met Fran to ride the motorcycle. Fran and I met immediately. We were friends. I never questioned what type of... Ever.
There was never any doubt.
No. You're a fellow traveler of the road. That's what I took you at. That's how I met you way back in the day. I never expect anything other than you. You are who you are. I never wanted you to be phony, pretentious, and you never have. You said, this is who I am. Take me or not. From Jump Street, you and I were friends.
And you know what?
What, buddy?
What I find interesting, and I've heard over time... other women bikers where, or I can't call them bikers yet. These are the individuals that are just coming into our world.
Yes.
And it's always fascinating to hear, oh, they treat me so poorly. And this and that, it's like, oh, God. You know, I never, never once, well, wait a minute, I've got to check that back. It was. Where... someone discredited me for riding a bike and being a female. The only time was I had to take my bike in the shop because I was having some problems with my kickstand. And the poor guy, this is National City, the poor guy, Rob, as sweet as he is, he's trying to dance around the corner to ask, he goes to the, do you wash your bike a lot? Like, I mean, you've seen my bike. You know.
Yes, dude.
I don't wash bikes, honey.
Every time it rains, you wash your bike.
That's right. And so I looked at him. I said, what, you know, what are you talking about? He says, and then he finally broke down and he says, do you ride in the rain? I was like, well, yeah. I mean, doesn't everybody? And I was new to San Diego at that time. Living in Florida... and having a bike in Florida, it's the only transportation I had. it rains regularly, so you learn to ride in the rain. And it was interesting because until I started seeing individuals here in San Diego, there weren't a high number of individuals that don't ride when it rains.
Yes.
So it's like it was a new education for me, and Rob at that point learned that don't cross me at that point because I sometimes may not be friendly.
And at my bike shop, every now and then somebody come in and say, I want to sell my bike because, you know, I'm getting old now. I'm 50. And I want you to know, Mr. Kennedy, I've never ridden the bike at night and I've never once been out in the rain. And I'm thinking, you're an idiot. Now, I want to say something else while I got you on the phone real quick, friend. I'm, I don't know if I put this delicately or correctly, I guess.
Why?
I was. I think that 10 years ago, the girls I rode with were more of a pioneer or hardy bunch than the girls I'm meeting today on the motorcycles. Now, this is not sexist. I'm just saying that maybe it's the same thing with the guys, too. So maybe I shouldn't just blame the girls. 10 years ago, I found the women I knew, again, had the more pioneer spirit. They were out there riding hard. I'm meeting women today that they have motorcycles, very expensive motorcycles, but they're limited or restrictive in what they want to do. Fran, do you feel, am I off base on that, or how do you feel?
You're pretty much on because there are more and more women that are buying motorcycles. there's someone that shouldn't be on a bike. I do hope that when it comes time, I know enough to hang up the keys, or not. But you are correct. There are a very wide range of women bikers. And now what I found is if there's a very timid female, and if she's willing to put miles on a bike at least 2 days a week on a motorcycle, at the year's end, she will not be a timid woman from that point on. And the, part of the reason for that is when you ride at least 2 days a week out there, and I'm talking not weekends, I'm talking ride.
Right.
What happens is your defenses and your attitude to sharing the road starts to come out in about 6 months. And you might be small, you might be this, you might be fat, it doesn't matter. But all of a sudden, this attitude of, this, move over, Jack. This is mine. I'm not, I don't have to put up with you. Okay? And that was just one of those things that that happens. Now, if a woman just is riding because she wants to ride and have her own bike instead of being behind her husband or this and that, that can work, or it might be a disaster. Personally, if a nice little female wants to learn to ride the bike, you do not learn it from your husband. You learn it from another person. And then you say, well, why? Well, because at that point, a husband may not be patient, may
right.
not know how to say that's not the way to do it. And then all of a sudden there is a fight and what have you going back and forth between you.
Yeah, but Fran, Fran, the point I'm making is, and I may have got off base a little bit, when I go out on a Saturday or Sunday, we have some local bars. Everybody's got some local bars. I see a lot of girls are taking their motorcycles to the local bars, you know, say, hey, look at me, blah, 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 meet guys. But I don't see the same pioneer spirit I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where women rode motorcycles to ride motorcycles. I'm seeing more and more women say, I'm going to ride down to the bar. My bike is polished to the max. I look gorgeous. My nails are fantastic. I don't seem to find many of the pioneer spirit where people are saying, I'm going for a ride. Now, I've got a good friend of mine, Harmony. She runs around the little Hot Rod Sportster. She'll go anywhere in the world. We have many friends in the Devil Dolls. If you don't know Devil Dolls Motorcycle, these girls ride their bikes. But, Fran, is it just me, or am I seeing that the bulk of the women riders are becoming more into social butterflies? They're just trying to ride down and say, hey, look at me. Tell me if I'm wrong, Fran. I'll listen to you.
But you know what? You have that in your male category as well. And I can take you to two bars here in Ocean Beach. Now, I don't know if it's just because some of them that are doing it is because they're the older set now and they just don't want to, you know, put in the miles anymore because they've already done it. But there's many, many people now, and I don't want to just say older, that are essentially doing that. What I don't like, and I do mean this, I don't like, is someone on a fancy bike. Now, again, I ride a Honda.
Right.
That doesn't make me any less or any better or worse than you. But what I don't like is if I ask someone on a fancy bike, has anybody had this kind of problem parking the bike the way I did?
Yes.
And the son of a bitch says to me, well, I don't know, lady. Why don't you just leave it there and find out if you get a ticket?
Yeah.
Now, luckily, being a lady that I am, I just looked at him and I said, well, you know what? Thank you, sir. And just walked away.
Well, Fred, again, I am saying that, I mean, there are some women out there still. I don't want to use this one lady's name. Her husband is a motorcycle patch holder, blah, 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 blah. I went down to Puerto Penasco, mainland Mexico, a couple years back, 500-mile, one-day one very long day ride, because Mexican roads are not great. She wanted to go. He said, I don't know, it's too far, blah, 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 blah. She called me up. She said, I spoke to my husband. I said, good, you guys going to join us? She said, no, he's not going to join you. He said, I could ride with you. I said, good for you, girl, come on. She rode the 500 miles down, 500 miles back. We're gone for 4 days. When she came back, we pulled into the bar. It was late at night. She pulled in the bar where him and all his motorcycle people, the gang members, were all sitting there. She had her sleeping bag, all her gear off. She got off the bike, and they're all like, oh, my God. And so she said, Bill, you want to turn around and ride back again? I said, no, baby girl, I'm going to head for the barn. But the point is, in front of all of these people, she wanted to ride. She talked to her husband, 500 miles one day. I don't feel I want to do it. She said, well, I want to go with Bill Kennedy. He said, go ahead. I'm not going to use his name, his bike club's name, or her name. But that's a fact. There are women out there to ride.
Whether it's a male or female, you're either going to be a rider or you're going to be a parker.
Right.
And I don't know if there is really an in-between. I mean, I mean, right now I haven't put on the miles that I normally would have. And I know I need at least 1,000-mile day, at least, because I'm finding that I need to get in the wind before I kill somebody. I mean, John always said to me, said, you know, when I hadn't ridden really hard for a while, he would say, don't you think you want to go up in the mountains and back? And he always knew, he always understood that the motorcycle is a equalizer.
Right.
And it takes a lot of the frustration and everything of the day. It takes all of that out of you. I mean, I will go into a classroom after riding the bike, and it's a little bit chilly. And I'm not even riding with a heavy coat. And people are like, oh, God, it's cold. And it's like, what cold? This is invigorating. This is life. This is great. And it's like, wow, you people don't have any skin, do you? And it's like they just don't understand the violation that you get when that mist is hitting your face. And it's like, it is so alive. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that is one of the best mornings ever.
Fran, I have noticed that, and again, I still do some serious miles up. When I'm in an area I'm not familiar with, I'm shutting down at nighttime. If I'm riding to Frisco, if I'm riding to Yuma, Nevada, I know the roads. But I'm finding out that late at night, if I'm places, I don't know where I'm at. I just went and did a party up in San Bernardino. I was on two or three freeways that had construction. And they had little tiny freeway signs. Unless I'm really familiar with the roads, I'm going to kind of restrict myself to more daytime riding. Now, there's nothing wrong with my eyesight, folks. Don't worry about me. I'm doing fine.
That's not eyesight.
If I don't know the roads, I don't think I'm that comfortable late at night. Plus, the guys I ride with, we lean too fast. I'm thinking I'll do more daytime ride when I don't know where I'm going. Just an observation.
But you know something? That's not an eyesight problem or anything. Years ago when John and I were going, we went through 5 states. And when we were going through Utah, it was dark. When I say dark, there wasn't even any stars out. And there's no real markers or anything to follow.
Yes.
And I tell you what, when we saw that light of hotel, we didn't care what kind of hotel it was. We were in it. And so it's doing more on the side of good common sense than trying to get somewhere. Because
right.
If you push and try to get somewhere, you're going to get hurt.
Last weekend, I had to go up to this party, and I was with this young man, Bill also, his name was. He took a piece of masking tape, put the masking tape right on his gas tank, and wrote down like 5 or 6 different freeway changes and roads we had to take. And I said, okay, well, if you got the map, I don't need to know where we're going. Little did I think, late at night on the freeway, he can't read that. We get lost 4 or 5 times. But when you're with a friend, you don't care about getting lost. You find yourself eventually. But neither one of us were familiar with the roads, and we had to cut back and cut back, back and forth. And we got to the party, and that wasn't marked off, but it didn't matter. If I knew where I was going, I could save so much time. So I'm just thinking more and more, if I don't know where I'm going, I'm going to stick to daytime, because nighttime you can just miss a road too easy, you know? And God, if you come down to Mexico and you miss a road at nighttime there, who knows where the hell you're going to end up? And again, would you like to tell us about a time you missed a road in Ensenada?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, we won't talk about that then.
Well, sorry about that one, huh?
And about, yep.
I mean, I'm one of the lucky ones where, as you know, I rode a bike for a while, and my darling husband, as much as he didn't like motorcycles because there's no protection, we were both car trainers in larger vehicles, like tractor trailers. I mean, that's what he and I taught. So when it came to riding a motorcycle, I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of balls for a 52-year-old man to learn to ride a motorcycle. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, I have to give John a lot of credit for doing that. I don't know too many men at 52 are willing to take that chance.
I have to tell you what I have to give John credit for. Philip and I would come across stuff that we couldn't understand. He would go to the books. He would go to the computers. He could do research like no other person I made, and he would tell me how this difficult language is. And so many times I couldn't understand what the hell Sacramento's doing, what the hell Congress is doing. He came back, and 20 minutes later, doing tremendous research, explained it to me. I have said this before. I've never met a man or any person who do research like John. Your husband was amazing in that factor.
I miss him in that respect, because I would give him the subjects, and I would explain to him what the situations were and what was happening, and he would go right into that research mode and see what the statistics were and changed it into an article. And, I miss the secretary in the house. And that's what he was. And
I got to tell you, I'll ask a question. I'll say, Philip, what's this mean? Philip will go, I don't know. So now that between the two of us, we're both lost trying to figure something out. We really do miss John. Do we have another caller out there? 773-220. Are you out there? Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Bill, good evening. This is Terry Hardy with the World of Soul Motorcycle Community.
Haven't heard you for in a while. How's everything going?
It's going, man. It's going. How's everything out your way?
Oh, one speed. We're getting ready for all our runs. We got Yuma, we got Laughlin, we got Vegas, and then right after that, we're getting ready for our trip down to Mexico, Rosarita Beach. So staying pretty busy now. The weather's good.
I thought I'd never get Tony, but
you know what I mean.
That sounds good. I miss riding on two wheels, Bill. I haven't ridden since April 16th of 2011.
Whoa. You must have the Joneses. You must have the shaking going on.
Well, you know how it is. You miss one day, and there you go. It's on. But it's been a continuous battle, so I persevered over the time. You know, I was orchestrating Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, that campaign that tells America's story. And we solicited many of the commercial interests to partner with us, and we had some success until we ran across one of the major brands. Went to pick up the bike one morning en route to our national launch, and I didn't get 5 miles away from that dealership before that bike went out. And it's been that way ever since.
Did they tell you what was wrong or no?
Well, they said that it was the cam shoes, and the push rods, speculating. But when I asked them to give me an assessment, they told me to just come up and pick up the bike. You know, we can't service you, Mr. Hardy.
Wow.
Really bizarre.
Yeah. And you haven't gotten anybody to look at it since, or no?
Well, they said, I called corporate, and corporate says, hey, take it from that dealership and take it to another dealer or even another mechanic shop.
Right.
So the dealer took it to another one of their shops at the suggestion, recommendation of the corporate office. And it took me 3 weeks before these guys would actually even open up the engine and make some assessments as to what was going on with the engine. I went over along with an associate to take a look at the bike, and wow. The service manager came out, lifted up some of the parts, and says, hey, there's your oil pump. It looks good. There's nothing wrong with it. There's oil in the bike. There's your cam shoes right there. That's natural. That's normal wear. There's nothing wrong with that. Picked up some other parts and looked like somebody had thrown a grenade in the motorcycle. The parts were just that bad. What happened? Nobody would say.
Nobody could tell you, huh?
No, nobody would tell me. I asked the service manager, say, hey, listen, how long have you been a service manager at this particular brand? He says, 10 years at this dealership alone. I asked him, within that 10 years, how many times have you run across this type of problem in the heart of your product? And he said, only twice. The way he said it was like twice, and the last time it happened, well, that was foul too. Not having any other follow-up questions at the moment, I left it alone and awaited their estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to give them a call back a couple of days later to ask another question, and lo and behold, the service manager no longer worked at that dealership.
Hmm. Did you go
in? The service manager steps into the shoes and provides the estimate. I'm over almost five grand in repairs to the engine alone.
Mm-hmm.
Replacement options. Contact corporate. Song and dance. No real solutions on the horizon. They know who I am. They were involved in my event when I was, I had it culminated at Dr. King's Place of Rest in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing director said to me, he says, Terry, partner with the dealers around the country. As we were moving this project around the country, and he says, if you can get this off the ground, you get right a whole life of change moving, you can write your own ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had been funding this project out of my pocket. It cost about $26,000 per city in time and resources. Thank God for a vibrant painting company that operated for 21 years before moving on to produce World Soul Motorcycle Community. I went on to execute and distribute a press release via PR Newswire, nation's largest newswire service.
Well, what are some of the steps you're taking now to kind of, you know, if you go down the authorized dealership and pull the factory book out for about what year is your bike, first of all? I'm sorry.
That one was a 2006.
Okay. I think for about $3,500, you can just give your whole motor to the factory, and they'll do a remanufactured engine. Contact your authorized on that, because that would be the smartest way to go. Bring the bike in, say, here, take the whole damn thing. They send the cases back to Milwaukee. They remanufacture everything using your parts. That would be the cheapest way to go, and you get a whole brand new engine with a 1-year warranty.
Well, that sounds good if the issue originated with me. I think that there's something else going on, and I refuse to make repairs to a bike that was in perfect condition when I dropped it off.
Okay.
And I think there's something else going on other than this. I think it's about time I start talking about it because, you know, David and Goliath, it was a real story.
Mm.
And Terry and this motor company is another story, and it's real. And the impact that we were making was real. It might be in a different direction than they might wanted it to go in, but it was going in a direction which I intended for it to go. That's a problem.
How much contact have you had with Wisconsin, the factory directly? Have you contacted them personally?
Oh, yeah. The like I said, in 2009, the senior vice president of North American sales and strategic planning, along with the director of marketing, the outreach manager in charge of the African American demographics, both participated. They were engaged there in Atlanta. They know who I am. They were CC'd on all of the emails back and forth to the customer service manager there in at their location, their corporate location.
Okay.
I've had phone calls with the VP. And just got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing, it doesn't exist if nobody knows about it.
No, exactly. That's it is a strange thing. I just want to point out that my brother had a problem with his transmission on his brand new bike. And they told him it would take 3 months to get the part. And they told him they were so backed up that he couldn't ride his bike for 6 months. We explained to him who we are, a motorcycle shop. If they would but send us the part, we would rebuild the transmission ourselves on a brand new bike. He was up in about 3 weeks. But they wanted us to wait for 6 months on a brand new bike he just bought. So sometimes the factory, they're cutting stone. It's hard to get through those people.
I think that it's their brand and it's their PR. So if it means something to them, if the outreach that we were making to others means something to them, yeah, they'll do something about it.
Well, yeah, squeaky wheel.
Exactly. That's the point, Bill. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at at this moment. And we've talked in the past about the program, and we had great prospects of expansion, even there into San Diego.
Right.
The fact remains, you know, we're going to move forward. I've been moving forward this project by playing an automobile, literally. I've ridden owners of dealerships' bikes, the rental shops' bikes, just to keep this thing moving forward. And at this point, hey, I'm exhausted, man. I'm out of resources, and I've still got some major plans for morphing World of Soul Motorcycle Community into World of Soul Motorcyclist Association.
Yeah.
We have put together a preamble, and we're having that signed off by various members around the country as we move forward. I've included a draft to the same people I talked about earlier, the marketing directors over at the major brand. And they know, the American Motorcyclists Association is aware, and they have blessed the opportunity. In fact, I was supposed to meet with the major brand in West Washington, D.C. to endorse the effort. So I really don't want to do a face-to-face or picture opportunity with a company that has not made me whole as of yet. And I will make this demand until the last drop.
Well, you don't give up.
That's right.
And David Goliath, that certainly is a good example of hanging in there. You got uphill battle, though, because the factory's real slow. And they will stall you, I believe. But by contacting them directly again and letting them know about the bad PR that's out there, I think that's where you might get through, I hope, anyway.
Yeah, we've got an interesting string of emails that's going on. And one day, you know, I may have to release this information just to help people to appreciate, you know, what's happening here and what's at stake and what's everybody's position. I just wanted to call in this evening and just put that on the table. And I asked you guys to keep me in your thoughts and prayers as we move forward, because you know in the past, and I'm real committed to this, and it hasn't changed.
Let's hope some of our listeners today might have some advice or suggestions How can they reach you, Terry?
No, you can always reach me via email at wospromo@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can catch us on Facebook at World of Soul Motorcycle Community. And mm-hmm. in a few more days, you'll catch us back up on our website at www.worldofsoulmc.com. And, of course, I take phone calls from bikers around the country at 773-220-2602. Once again, that's 773-220-2602.
Now, my next couple of runs I got coming up, like I said, I got Yuma and I got Laughlin, I got Vegas. Are you coming up to Vegas this year?
Man, I am so looking forward to getting out that way. I have been for quite some time. And just as soon as we can get these issues resolved, I'm on my way, no doubt. I got to connect with my people on the West Coast, baby.
Vegas is a place you talk to everybody. Everybody. Do we have a... Anyway, I want people that are interested in helping this man find out what's going on. Contact him. Maybe we have some advice, or maybe you got some ideas how he can light a fire underneath the factory. Philip, is anybody up there we want to talk to real quick? We only got a couple minutes left. We want to get somebody else in here. Is this 970?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good. So, interesting show tonight. You guys covered quite a few bases.
Can you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please?
This is Ryan out of Colorado.
I know that. Why don't you tell everybody? Why are you so difficult? He's got that reserved quietness about him. Make some noise. Let people know who you are.
There we go. Well, I figured I better say hey to the host first before I start announcing my presence. That's just
it's all about you. Whoever calls in is you. I told you before, Philip and I have little to do with the show except to direct it. The show is about you, whoever's speaking at the time. So whatever you have to say, we want to hear, Ryan.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple projects I'm working on. One of them coming up on June 22nd, I'm doing a poker run for the International Mosaic Downs Foundation. I didn't even know what the hell it was, to be honest with you. Mosaic Down Syndrome is a form of Down syndrome that a lot of times people don't even know they have. So I'm still finding out about that, but we're trying to raise awareness of it. It's a grassroots foundation that consists of 7 people on the board, all of which are in different states, and they do it out of their garage. And they base their whole year on less than a $10,000 budget. So trying to get them some help, because the more I found out about this disease, I guess you could say, this ailment, there's a lot of people that have it that didn't realize it. They just thought they had some sort of a disability, and come to find out they've got a form of Down syndrome that is a lot of times misdiagnosed and can potentially screw them up worse by having the wrong medication. So got that coming up June 22nd. As I get more information, I'll sure keep you guys in the loop. Other than that, I'm going to be at Lake Tahoe the weekend of April 14th. If anybody's in that area has got a bike, or anybody's got a good-looking gal that wants to sit on a bike, I'll be at that lake for 4 days. If they want to hit me up, I'd be happy to do a photo shoot and, you know, get some good shots for somebody out there if they're interested.
That's kind of, you know, interesting. I'm hoping you're going to keep expanding. One of these times I want to catch you at Vegas or catch you somewhere where there's, like, you know, a zillion bikers or something with that. I know what you're doing is interesting. I think you can help a lot of people. So
yeah, I'd love to be a part of it. You know, I've got Lake Tahoe in April. June, I'm going to Lake Powell for 4 days. I'm taking 4 models up there. We're doing a bikini photo shoot for a friend of mine that's getting her clothing line started. And then possibly heading toward Beckley, West Virginia in May. So keep my fingers crossed, and hopefully that all keeps rolling in.
Well, keep touch with us. We've stayed here and everything. We only got less than a minute now, so we can start to wrap it up.
Okay.
We have exactly 1 minute now. Ryan, do continue us your interregular, that's a new word there, intermittent reports, because people, this is a great opportunity, that what he's given you.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to become a professional, if you just want to have some pictures you can show your children and your grandchildren later in life, this man for $25, that's a joke, $25, he's offering you a chance for a lifetime to put together a portfolio. If he was anywhere in our area, Philip and I would have our portfolio taken. Because mostly we don't have any pictures of all of us.
Yeah, right.
We got magazine pictures up the gazoos, but I mean, I don't have pictures taken, you know. And the magazine pictures, they never put great pictures of me. They always get me in some crazy thing or something.
Right, that's 10 seconds how it left.
I hate to say, we have to say goodnight to everybody. Philip, wrap us up.
Yeah, Ryan, get a hold of me over the weekend.
Will do, man. I'll get a hold of you. All right, okay. Good night, everybody.
Let's say thank you to all of our friends again. Boys and girls, this is not a show about us. Please, free to call in. Talk to us. If you don't call in, there's no reason for Philip and I to hang here any longer. No matter where you are, and many of you record the show, I understand that. But listen, text us, email us, write old-fashioned snail mail, pick up the phone, whatever it takes. If you don't tune in, what the hell's the use of us being here? Right, amigo? Good night, boys and girls.
We're going to let we'll let Everlast take us out with what it's like.
What it's like. What it's like. Good night. Good night. Good night.